The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare, called Your Best Healthcare Now. It is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and the senior advisor to healthcare.com and our very own Robin Hood Radio detecting type.
I'm the healthcare detective. That's my official title. Hey, by the way, it's trademark.
It starts out that way, by the way. Just so you know, the intro starts out, the healthcare detective, Frank Lally.
Right.
I'm just being possessive here. Anyway.
So I'm keeping my trademark by continuing to be the healthcare detective. So let's talk about this. The healthcare workers, that's the union, SEIU 1199 NE for New England, is now calling for the firing of Barbara Cass. Now, Cass's job, she works for the state, obviously, but Cass's job is to hold Connecticut's nursing home operators accountable with surprise inspections and meaningful fines. That's really her job. And frankly, her record during the COVID-19 pandemic is as shaky as a California earthquake. Let's count the ways that she has let down the state. First, she's presided over joke nursing home inspections. The fines that finally resulted from her crew's inspections seem awfully arbitrary to me and to a lot of other people. Now, we'll talk about that in a lot more in a minute. And instead of raising the alarm about the dire scarcity of PPE, Cass made a remark about the workers' homemade PPE that was at best insulting and worst, racist sounding to many of the largely black and brown healthcare workers risking their lives caring for the sick and vulnerable in these nursing homes. So let's start with the inspections. As COVID-19 was killing 1 out of 10 senior living residents this spring, Cass's nursing home inspections actually broke down. A number of inspectors became too frightened to go into the homes. That's what lawmakers told me. They were too frightened to go in. So Cass let managers self-inspect with their mobile phones. The managers just walked around the halls on FaceTime. So Jill, guess where they aim their cameras? You got any guesses about that?
I would hope that they aim them at their patients.
No. I think they did in some cases, but they're trying to put as best a light on this as they could. So the manager showed the workers with proper PPE for the large part. Okay, they didn't show the many wearing bandanas as masks or soiled gowns for days out of desperation because the homes didn't have enough PPE, or they were locking it up and rationing it, which of course saves the nursing homes money. Representative Jonathan Steinberg of Westport, he's a Democratic head of the House Public Health Committee, told me the FaceTime inspections were an embarrassment, and I'd say that's the least of it. After an outcry from many, that's including Marshall and I here at Robin Hood Radio, many others, Governor Lamont finally agreed to bring in an independent firm to investigate Connecticut's nursing homes from top to bottom, including the state's actions. Now, that's very significant. There's a lot of money involved here for the safety and care of the residents and the brave healthcare workers. That's how the money was supposed to be spent. So the investigators should zero in on whether the managers of any of these 213 nursing homes held back buying or distributing PPE to inflate the nursing home owners' profits. If they see that, the state should claw back every dime, and the investigator should turn over the facts to Attorney General William Tong. As Representative Steinberg told me, not all nursing home operators are good people. They should also look into the fines that strike me and others as awfully arbitrary here. So Jill, look, at your request, I'm going to do this Perry Mason style, okay, the way we did it last week. I'll describe the violations and then I'll let you guess the fine.
Uh-oh.
Okay, ready? Okay. Ready for this little exercise?
Yep.
Okay. Listen up. A nursing home inspector saw two nurses with masks off, closer than 6 feet apart, drinking coffee. One of the nurses' lips were still wet, okay? Case closed. Well, what do you think? How big a fine for a maskless coffee break?
I don't know. $5,000?
$5,000. You're tough. The nursing home, that's Essex Meadows of Essex, was fined $720. So this is a master's coffee break, $720. Okay. Next case. The nursing home receptionist called a taxi for a resident with dementia who is known to wander off. So she mistook him for a guest, but his ankle bracelet set off an alarm at the front door. A housekeeper heard the alarm and saw a man getting into the taxi. So what do you think she did? She shut off the alarm and went back to cleaning and didn't tell anybody. Now, the man was found and returned the next day unharmed. For some reason, this violation is called elopement. There's no romance involved in this thing. It's just, but anyway, that's what they call elopement. So what do you think? How much for this loveless elopement?
$1,000.
Okay. The nursing home, that's Nathaniel Weatherall of Greenwich, got hit with a $10,000 fine.
Okay.
All right. How about a home that left one recovered COVID patient in the COVID unit, though there was an empty room available? What's the fine for that?
I would hope I'm going back to five.
This is one recovered patient in a COVID unit, okay? Bethel Healthcare Center, that's in, you guessed it, it's Bethel, was fined $2,500. So you're missing the mark here.
I
don't know if it's you or the state, but you're missing the mark. All right, how about this one? The administrator and head nurse ordered staff to launder single-use gowns in the home's laundry for the next shift. And get this, the state closed the laundry years ago because it was hooked up to contaminated water with raw sewage. The inspector said the laundry had an odor. And I'm happy to tell you, he didn't describe what that odor was. So, okay, Joe, how much for washing single-use gowns for reuse in smelly water rather than supplying workers fresh gowns?
$5,000.
Well, Regal Corps of Southport was fined $2,000. So, okay, let's recap here. So one home gets whacked $720 for two nurses on a coffee break. Another is hit $2,000 for keeping one recovered COVID patient in a COVID unit. And this is a new one here, but Shady Knoll in Seymour is not fined for rooming a COVID resident with two non-COVIDs. The nurse told the inspector, well, you know, we pulled the curtains between the beds. So Regal Care only gets $2,000 for washing single-use gowns in its contaminated laundry. You don't see a pattern.
No, because otherwise
you didn't guess the right numbers.
Exactly. And I'm actually, all kidding aside, I'm usually pretty good at this. Not numbers per se, but just if there is a pattern or there's some uniformity. But what is clearly uniform is that there is no incentive whatsoever to stop being stupid.
Well, I'd say your numbers were just as logical as the numbers that we really have in front of us here. And here's the worst I've seen. This is the worst. Apple of West Haven was only fined $5,000 for workers drawing blood from COVID and non-COVID residents going from one to the other with this glucose monitor without properly disinfecting the monitor. You're risking blood-to-blood transmission of a virus. And they did it for weeks, and they got fined $5,000 for that. That nursing home, by the way, that's Apple of West Haven, 57 confirmed COVID cases, 13 deaths. And then there's Barbara Cass and her callous remark about Connecticut's lack of PPE. Healthcare workers have been literally begging for PPE, getting sick in nursing homes, bringing the virus home to their families and dying. 1199 alone has lost 15 members to COVID, plus some family members. So what did Cass say when she learned that workers, desperate to protect themselves, were wearing trash bags as gowns? She said she heard the workers preferred trash bags over proper gowns. 1199 President Rob Burrill rightly said, "Our workers aren't trash." And he also called Cass's remark the most racist thing he'd ever heard. I asked the Department of Health repeatedly this week for comment on the arbitrary fines and any comment they had for the union's call for Cass to be fired. And unfortunately, I got no response on those requests. The department spokesman, Av Harris, he's a nice guy. He tried to help me nail down the fines for COVID violations in these nursing homes. So last Friday, Harris told me that 10 nursing homes had been fined over $40,000. So all I can say for sure is that COVID has killed over 3,000 senior living residents in this state, and the nursing homes have been fined less than $30,000. You do the math, that's $10 a life. $10. So, Jill, what do you make all this? I mean, really, what do you make? Kind of in a way, what do you make of this mess?
It's just what happens when you have too much money sloshing around and you don't care. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's miserable. But it's miserable. And sadly, and this is the really frustrating part, there is no incentive once you get into people's pockets to not continue this behavior.
I mean, the other shortcoming of these fines, now there are statutory limits, I'm told, so I didn't see anything above $10,000, and that usually is when a resident is hurt. There was another case where somebody was known to raise his bed really high, okay? So when no one was looking, and then he fell out of bed and broke his legs, and that was a $10,000 fine. There was another one where someone fell out of bed and needed 7 stitches on their head. That was a $10,000 fine. So that's where the big fines are. But you wash single-use gowns in smelly water?
Contaminated water. Again, the whole thing is
contaminated
it's
water.
Asinine.
You get hit with a $5,000 fine. I don't. Or how about the blood transmission?
And
For $5,000 for risking spreading that virus blood to blood, and they did it for weeks. They didn't have the right disinfectant for weeks, and they only get hit with a $5,000 fine. I don't get it. I don't think CAS is doing a good job. Lawmakers tell me that when this report comes in, we will see that the Department of Health really let the state down. The governor did fire the head of public health department and hasn't replaced that person, by the way. But then it's CAS's job, especially without good leadership at the top. It's Cass's job with these surprise inspections and her fine and the fines that she can recommend to the governor to sign off on. It's her job to keep these nursing homes accountable. And I'm talking about the nursing home owners. So when the fines come down, and they're awfully arbitrary, they go into the general fund. So that just takes money away from the healthcare workers. It means lousy lunches for the residents for a couple of weeks take care of this the fines that they have to pay. You know, I'm told you don't get it. These fines, even a small fine like $1,000, can hurt these nursing homes. They're really underfunded. My answer to that is you don't get it. Half of the nursing homes in Connecticut are owned by corporations. They're big deal operations, and in some cases, equity funds worth billions of dollars. That's half the homes in this state. So, you know, slapping them with a $5,000 fine or a $10,000 fine out of the general fund, is that really going to change behavior? If there are statutory problems here, let's address them. You got a special session coming up. Let's address this. And so it's frustrating, Jill, but we're going to stay on this. Marshall and I have been reporting this very closely. We're going to continue. And our job right now is to keep our eye on this investigation. They haven't brought the firm in yet. It's going to start operating at the end of June. They want the report in August, and they want the reforms in place in September. We got to make sure that these reforms are meaningful, okay, and that the nursing homes actually do it. If they're told to change behavior and it's going to cost them money, they actually do it. So we got work ahead of us. I'm here on the job, Jill.
Need another pair of shoes.
And happy to be trying. And happy as Marshall is too. We're happy to be trying to help. Get past this nursing home business and get us in a situation where people feel safe to put their loved ones into a Connecticut nursing home. We're going to stay on this and do everything we can to make that reality.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, if you have nursing home info or want him for other things, Frank, once again, just please give that email.
Yeah, my personal email, I really want to hear from. I've heard from some. I'd like to hear from more. Tell me any. You can be for these, you know, higher fines or find a pattern here that we don't see. Whatever your opinion is, we want to hear it. It's my name, Frank Lally, Lalli, Frank Lally 1 at me. com. And you can always go to Robin Hood Radio on Demand to listen to any of these broadcasts that we've done over the last 2 or 3 months to get a real picture of what's going on in Connecticut nursing homes up to now.
Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in-store, and on my desk.